All right, this is different. And I don't care if I'm saying this on recording. I'm used to an empty building. One week, I'll tell my funny story, that it had to be during when I was recording that the UPS guy showed up. And he's pounding on the door, and he can see me in here. And I'm going, oh, no. And that entire, I spent like 3 hours trying to splice the two pieces together. It never worked. So hopefully you guys didn't notice anything different that week. So here we are, part three of Rebuilding. And so we've been in the book of Nehemiah, and you can turn there. You can get on your Bible apps, and you can follow along tonight in the last part of this series. So I want to begin with this statement that no plan and no action will lead to no results. And I read this week and went, wow, this is right where we're at. Why do we need these things in place that we've been talking about? Why do we need to look through what's been going on and come up with a keep list and what we want to get rid of during this time as we move into this new time? It's because no plan and no action lead to no results. That, and you guys all know this, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, that's just the definition of insanity. And we've all been there. We've all done this. We all kind of wait for things to be different, and yet we keep doing the same thing. And so as I've been doing for the last couple weeks, I just want to welcome you to the new normal. What the new normal is what it's going to be. And most of us are trying to figure this out now. We're trying to figure out what this looks like and what it looks like for our church, our families, what it looks like for your job. Some of you have had jobs that have switched and kind of changed a little bit because of that. So hopefully you've kind of been doing your lists from week to week. And if not, that's fine. But this is a good way to start, because I don't know about you. I need a way to track this and know what needs to stay, what needs to go. And so I've been thinking about this when it comes to church and life itself and family life. What does this look like? How good has it been to be home and do more things around home? How weird has it been not having gatherings here at church? We don't want to do that. We want to find ways for people to meet. So this whole keep discard list. And then last week, the list changed, and it went to this whole idea of what am I going to keep from the first week? Now I need a plan if I'm going to move forward, because without a plan, we're just not going to get anywhere. We're not going to accomplish anything. And so this whole idea that without actions, our plans are only suggestions that we never take. Without action, our plans are great ideas, they're great suggestions, they're things we're like, oh yeah, I'm going to do that someday. But until we take action, nothing ever changes. So you might remember Easter, we talked about this whole idea of a marker of hope, that we need something to kind of look forward to, that when this time is over, we're going to do something special. And so I don't know what you decided in your home, in your family, but we decided we were going on a trip. Right, we're going to go on a trip, and we're going to get out of here. We're going to go to Michigan, and yeah, that state's not opening very well. So we changed our plans. So one of the things we did, because we didn't know what destination, we went and rented a car. And wouldn't you know, my debit card got shut off. And I call the bank, and the bank goes, nobody's renting a car right now, okay? And so I didn't know how to start with the lady to tell her, do you want to know what a marker of hope is? Here's our YouTube channel. Watch the message and you'll understand why we're doing this and why we have this marker of hope, because we're looking forward. And without action, you know, it would have been a nice thought, but now everything's kind of ramping up and things are changing. And I don't know if we would have had the same plans or been able to get some of the things that we got. So without action, our plans are only suggestions that we never take. So we have been talking about Nehemiah. And I just kind of want to remind us all who Nehemiah is. He was a high official in Persia. Even though he was Jewish, he moved up the ranks and was a high official. And in those days, that meant he was a cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. That was his job. That's what he did. And the king had to trust him in order to give him that position. If the king didn't trust him, he wasn't getting that position. So in 445, the king makes him governor of Judah. Think Israel, that area. That's who the king kind of placed him in charge of. And so we've been looking at his life. And when Nehemiah shows up, and the walls are all crumbled at Jerusalem, he has to do a few things. He needs to evaluate, he needs to make a plan, and then he needs to take action. And until he took action, you know, I'm sure people before him thought, hey, we got a plan, we can do this, and nobody did anything. The wall was crumbled, there were big holes in it, opposing armies could come in, people could come in, take whatever they wanted, and so it was important that somebody show up and have a plan and then take action on that plan. So I want to walk you through a few verses of what happens here next in this story. So Nehemiah chapter 2, he said, Nehemiah is just writing this, and he's saying, this is what he did. Then I related to them how the good hand of my God was on me and what the king had said to me. Then they replied, let's begin rebuilding right away. So they readied themselves for this good project. He had supplies, he had letters, he was ready to go, and they were excited about it. Okay, very next verse. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard all this, they derided us and expressed contempt toward us. They made fun of them. You're not going to do this. You're not going to accomplish this. I mean, instantly, hey, let's take action. And instantly, somebody's there just to kind of knock them down and just, right, keep them from going in the direction they need to go. So here's what I want you to let you know. When you take action, beware. This next step is where everything opens up. If Nehemiah had just shown up and took his horse ride at night and evaluated the walls, what's about to happen wouldn't happen. If he stood there and just made a plan, okay, but he didn't have any supplies, he just kind of, you know, rah-rahed the people together, what's going to happen next is not going to happen. When he gets them ready and they start rebuilding, look out. When you take action, beware. That's when everything starts happening. That's when everything starts kind of falling into place. So Nehemiah faced problems when the action started. In fact, this is true all over Scripture. That you want to know when the people of God get opposed and what God wants them to do? When they start taking action. That's when they get opposed. That's when all of a sudden the enemies show up, the people around them, you know, stop them. And I want you to see that because that's what's going to happen as you get ready to take action, as you get ready to take that next step into taking that keep list, developing a plan, and going next into what is next for you. That's when everything is going to happen. So I want you to see this, okay? They said, okay, and this is this Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem. They said, what is this you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king? Well, Nehemiah had letters, okay? He knew that. And what they're doing is the first thing that kind of happens when we start taking action. The first thing that happens is we get questions. And questions are not bad. It's not bad to have people in our life who are asking us, are you sure? Are you ready for this? But these weren't questions. These were trying to derail them. They were just being questioned constantly, okay? These guys were just trying to derail them in what they were going to do. And so if you've taken your keep list and now you're developing a plan, let me tell you, your first step of action, somebody's going to go, are you sure you want to do that? Are you really sure you want to do this? That's what happens. People do that. Well-meaning people in our life will do that. And sometimes it's because you're taking action that they wish they had taken. And we talked about some of those things. What does it look like to have some of that family time we've been having? What does it look like to maybe change the education spectrum for our kids? I have heard my friend talk about lots of people calling him saying, okay, I know you homeschool. How did you do that? How did you accomplish that? So just imagine, that's your trajectory. That's where you're going to go. And so here's your plan, and you take that first step, and, you know, your neighbor goes, you're doing what? Are you crazy? What are you thinking? Are you sure? Are you sure they're going to be in the college now because you're going to homeschool? And all of a sudden, you start getting questions. And sometimes those questions can derail us and keep us from doing the things that we are supposed to be doing. Now, what you're also going to see in these three things tonight is that these are the things that show up in Genesis chapter 3 in the Garden of Eden. What does Satan start with Eve? Did God really say that you can't eat from any tree in the garden? He begins to question her, and she begins to question God and question God's goodness, and that begins to derail them in what they are supposed to be doing. So let's continue. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall. He became angry and was quite upset. Okay, so he continues. So when they all heard about it, this is a few verses down in verse 7 of chapter 4. When they all heard about it, and the people of Ashdod heard that the restoration of the walls of Jerusalem had moved ahead and that the breaches had begun to be closed, they were very angry. Okay, so now everybody's angry with them. Okay, continues. All of them conspired together to move with armed forces against us, Jerusalem, and to create a disturbance in it. And our adversaries also boasted, before they are aware or anticipate anything, we will come in among them and kill them, and we will bring this work to a halt. So the first step is that when we take action, we get questions. Then the second step of this, the second thing that happens, is we face opposition. We face people who aren't just questioners anymore. They are totally opposed to us, which isn't what Satan shows up to do, to oppose Adam and Eve. They're just getting started. They just got married. God has a plan and purpose for them, and he shows up to oppose everything that they are supposed to be doing. Opposition comes, happens all the time. People, and I'm telling you, sometimes they are well-meaning people, just stand opposed to what we want to do. Stand opposed because we believe God's moving us in this direction, that God has a plan for us, and they're fine as long as we're just talking, as long as they're plans, but start taking action. Okay, now I'm against you. Now I can't believe you're doing this. Maybe they're going on a Facebook rant against you, okay, because you're taking some action. Whatever it is, opposition comes when you start taking action. You know, if you want to experience what it's like to have the enemy of our souls come against you, just start taking action in the direction that God wants you to take. That's all you got to do. And all of a sudden, there's opposition. There's opposition to what we're supposed to be going and what we're supposed to be accomplishing. Here's the last one, okay? So now we're, again, Sanballat, Geshem, sent word to me saying, come on. Let's set up a time to meet together at Kephram in the plain of Ono. That sounds pretty harmless, right? Okay, maybe we were wrong, Nehemiah. Okay, you're almost done. You're doing well, but maybe we should get together and talk about this. You know, do you really want to finish this? Do you really want to succeed in this? You know, just come down and meet with us. And so here he is up on the wall. Everybody's kind of taking their action, building their section of the wall. And now he starts showing up again. Now he's trying to, what, pull him away. Come on, Nehemiah, let's meet. Let's meet, let's talk, let's get together. We can talk about this. And so I want you to see Nehemiah's response to this, because I think it's just absolutely brilliant. In fact, we've looked at this passage before, because I think this is one of the great New Year's passages that kind of help us get direction in our life for a new year. He said, so I sent messengers to them saying this, I am engaged in an important work and I am unable to come down. Why should the word work come to a halt when I leave it to come down to you? I'm doing an important work. I'm engaged in important work and I can't come down. I know you think this is a meeting, you think this is no big deal, but I'm engaged in important work and I can't come down. In other words, Nehemiah is just saying, I've carried out my action. I'm doing what God has asked me to do. I'm doing what he's called me to do. I'm not coming down. I am not stopping that work. I am not doing anything else. I'm engaged in this work, and I am not coming down. And you need to know, they were persistent, okay? They contacted me 4 times, okay? Imagine that messenger. Really, I got to go back again. All over again. I just went to the guy once, twice, 3 times, 4 times. He's not changing his mind. Why do I got to go back there? Okay. 4 times in this way. And he responded the same way every time. Imagine the messenger comes back and he goes, don't tell me. Yep. He's doing important work and he's not coming down. That's what he's doing. Okay. Because you need to know the last part of what happens when we take action. That when we take action, we will have distractions. And this is where the good becomes the enemy of the great. There are lots of distractions. And I think part of what I've realized during this time is that when some of those distractions got pushed away, it just left a lot of questions about what we should do and what's working and what's not working, because a lot of those distractions just got taken away. They were gone. But once you start taking action, this is what happens. And again, very well-meaning people who, you know, if we're deciding we're going to have so many family dinners a week, and they're looking at us and going, no, come on, come out with us. Just one time, it's not a big deal. You can make it up next week, right? It's all well-meaning stuff. But the problem is you're doing an important work, and you cannot calm down. You're doing an important work. You can't calm down. Because as soon as you're distracted, I'm just going to guarantee you the plans go out the window, and all of a sudden you'll look back in a few months and go, what happened? We're going in such a good direction. We had this down. Oh, yeah, we got distracted over here. And there's lots of distractions. And some of them are very good distractions. Some of them are very good things that we could give our time to and give our money to and give our effort to. And we have to decide, what's the important work that God called us to do? And we need to do that work and not come down. Even though there's distractions and even though lots of people have things they would like us to be involved in and would like for us to do, like I said, I think this has been a good time to kind of remove all those distractions. It's reminding us what's important. And if we don't have a plan to keep what's important, if we don't have a plan to do the next step and to do the thing that God has been showing us we need to do, and he's revealed that to us during this time, then what's going to happen is, just give it a few months, you'll be like, what happened? Remember, you were doing an important work and you couldn't come down. You couldn't come down. You needed to carry through. You needed to do it no matter what the distraction needed to be. So, in our story, in Nehemiah's story, it's really the same three guys constantly. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, it's the same three guys showing up over and over again, and they're opposing him, and they're creating distractions for him, and, right, he's got to be like, my goodness, it's the same people over and over again. What's important is how Nehemiah responded, because how Nehemiah responded is the way you and I need to respond. It's the way we need to respond when we're doing that important work and can't come down. When people are opposing us, when we're just facing nonstop questions, why would you want to do that? It is what we need to do, okay? So how are we going to respond, okay? So I'm back to my list, right? I'm back to the list because you got to get back to this and say, okay, what was the plan? What is it we wanted to keep? Come on, we forget stuff all the time. I forget stuff all the time. So we have to go back and we say, what was it we wanted to keep? What was the plan we were going to carry out? How did we get off of that? Where did we just kind of drift off the road? And how are we going to get back to doing that? And here's what you find in the story of Nehemiah, that the first thing he does constantly is pray. Every time he is opposed, every time there's a distraction, every time there's lots of questions, Nehemiah's there praying. The entire book is an incredible example of how you stay on track, how you accomplish something with the help of Jesus, right? Because he is constantly praying. He is constantly asking for help. God, help us. These people are opposing us. So he had to come up with a plan in order to keep them away. He's distracted. He's not going to come down. But he prays constantly about this. If we're going to do this, if we're going to take action, and if we're going to accomplish what God has for us, it's time we become praying people and ask God constantly, show us what we need to do. Show us where there's distractions. Is this a good choice we're making? Will this keep us going in this direction? Will this take us off course? Secondly, review the plan. Okay, we go back to that list. What was it we were trying to accomplish? And maybe the plan needs to shift a little bit. That sometimes needs to happen. The thing we want to keep is the important thing. The thing we said is important that we keep it. It's important that we have this. It's important that we do this. That's the important thing. The plan is just how we're going to accomplish that. So sometimes you go back and say, you know what? Plan's got to change. We gotta alter it a little bit. It's not working well anymore. We gotta change. We gotta alter it. So review the plan. review the plan, go back. Does this need to be altered? God, are we off somewhere on this that we need to go back and make some corrections so that we can do the third thing, which is move forward? That's what Nehemiah does over and over again. Through all the distractions and the opposition, he just keeps going. And he keeps everybody moving forward to accomplish what they're supposed to do. And as I've been telling you every single week, because I've just had to revisit this over and over again, rebuilding is not easy. Nothing worthwhile ever is. It's just not. If you think this is an exercise and something easy, sorry, it's not. What's easy to do is go back to what we were already doing before. That's easy. Because it's comfortable. We already know how to do it. We already know how to accomplish it. So that's what we're working on as a church. Hey, we just want to go back to what we did before. No, that's not honoring God through what's happening and this shift that's taken place. So how do we rebuild to a new normal that's even better, that accomplishes everything that God has called us to do and accomplish? That's the question. That's the question we've got to keep asking us. It's not easy. And if it were easy, everybody would do it. But most people, you know, read all the surveys, everybody just wants to go back to what they were doing before all of this happened. And if we do that, I think we miss a God-given opportunity to move in a new direction for a better life that he has in store for us. So I'm going to leave you with this thought. Without actions, we only have dreams, plans, words, but no results. That's what happens without action. That's what happens. And we've probably all been guilty of, oh, we're going to accomplish this someday, and we're going to do this. And man, they were nice plans, right? They were nice dreams. They were even powerful words. But without action, there's no results. It changes nothing. We've changed nothing about our life. We've not moved in a new direction, and we've missed out on what God has in store for us. So let me pray for us that we would be serious about what it is that we need to keep, that we would be serious about what is the plan to move forward, and that we wouldn't wait any longer, but we would start taking action to move towards that plan and the results that God has in store for us. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Nehemiah. Because it didn't matter what came his way, he just kept moving forward. He saw some incredible results. The results he saw were absolutely amazing. And he just leaned into you constantly so that he could help accomplish and see the results that you had in store for them. I don't know if anybody else could have had the clarity, the discipline, the wisdom to lean into you and carry this out. It's a remarkable story. And so, Father, you know the season we're in. It's been incredibly challenging. And in this season, we've seen some things in our lives we don't like. We've seen some things that have been really good, and we want to keep those. We didn't have them before. Would you help us to keep the things that are really good? They have been good reminders of your goodness and faithfulness and the direction you want us to go in our lives. So help us to be serious, to develop that keep list, to make a plan, and then most importantly, to take action. Without action, Father, there's no results. We make nice speeches, we have great dreams, and we say some nice words, but it means nothing in the end. The reason we know Nehemiah's story is because of the results and what happens. So, Father, help us to take that next step, to take some action on the things that you're calling us to do in our families, the things you're calling us to do as a church. And we'll thank you because this direction is only from you, and you can help us through all the distractions and through all the questioning and through all the opposition that we will face. So help us, guide us, direct us, so that we can accomplish all that you have in store for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget to join us next week. It is Father's Day, and we will have a special Father's Day message next week.